Well, good morning. Thank you, Dave. I always appreciate being back home. I talked to my brother, Mark. We texted a little bit. I texted him on Friday, and his youngest boy, Joe, got married last night, so I texted him and said, I know that last-minute details are, I'm sure, coming together, praying that they do, and I said it's good to be back in the South. I said it feels like an old shoe. It just fits real nice, so... greetings from the saints at Bible Truth Chapel in Wausau, Wisconsin, and also greetings from Denise and our family. It would have been great for her and all the kids to come down and be with us, but just didn't work out this time. Luke and his wife Shannon are now in Wausau. They moved up to Wausau back in January, and he's working there at organization called footlocker.com. and then our daughter Grace and her husband Brandon are in Wausau. Brandon also works at footlocker.com and Hope's still there with us. She just finished her freshman year in at a local technical school, and so we've got everybody all in Wausau right now for the season, and we're thankful, enjoying it, trying to take advantage of having them all there. So it's good to be down here. I said I thawed out about Wednesday of this past week, so the heat didn't bother me a bit. I save all my complaining for the weather in about January, February, March, and then most of April. Well, happy Father's Day. It's already been mentioned and recognized. Thank you for the fathers who maybe aren't biological fathers. You become a stepfather. Maybe you're a spiritual father, you're a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader. Thank you for investing in the youth. And I look out and I see all y'all, and I see a lot of y'all who invested a lot in me, who were fathers to me. And I say thank you. The Lord is gracious and faithful. So it's nice to be able to spend Father's Day with my daddy. I don't think I've been down here on Father's Day for some time, so it's good to be with him. And also Bob, hadn't had a chance to greet you yet, brother. Good to see you. And so thankful for the investment that Bob made in his children's life, in particular my wife, and that the investment my dad continues to make in me. So it's amazing how much smarter he has gotten as the years have gone. We're going to talk about a father this morning. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to talk about a desperate father, and the title of this message is Don't Lose Heart. This is the story of a desperate father. Had a chance to be at Mountaintop Youth Camp this past week, and was grateful for the privilege of getting to see some family and some old friends. Israel Chavez and his wife Erica have been directing Junior Teen Week for several years now, and I saw George McClintock in the restroom here, and he said, "How are things?" I said, "I'm wore out." I said, "Israel's goal there is to wear the kids out." I said, "It takes all week to wear the kids out, but the adults are wore out about Wednesday, and so we're running on empty Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning." But it was a great week. The theme was superheroes. And we looked at Hebrews chapter 11 about leaving a legacy of faith. And as I talked to those campers, ages 13 to 16, I talked to them about many of them had a legacy of faith that they had. They were continuing on. Their parents and grandparents, great-grandparents, had established a Christian home, and they were able to just continue on. And for them to be thankful for the heritage that they had and the legacy of faith that had been established in their life. But many of these campers wouldn't have had that privilege. They are growing up in a very difficult home life. They aren't growing up in a home that Christ is the center, and He is not the head of their home. And so I encourage them and challenge them to begin their legacy of faith this week, that day. Even though things weren't where they needed to be at home and under their headship, they could establish that. They could be the beginning. I'm getting a little emotional. I can tell I must be tired. But they can begin that legacy of faith and look forward to growing up and getting married and raising children and looking back to Mountaintop and saying, thank you for investing in me. And then they in turn could invest and send their children in years down the road. Mercy, I should have just started preaching instead of... I just am thankful. I'm thankful for those that have invested in me in Mountaintop and then getting to see my children go to Mountaintop and excited to see their children go as well. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5 and the story of a desperate father. I love this story. The Lord Jesus, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the stories of the Lord Jesus Christ written down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this different perspective, each one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each different perspective, yet all directed by the Spirit of God. And so as you read through the Gospels, I can remember there's a lady up at Wausau. She's German, and we gave her a German New Testament. And I asked her, I said, Ushi, I said, how is the reading coming? She said, it's going good. She said, I'm reading the same stories over and over again. I said, well, keep reading, and don't stop reading. She says, I think I've already read this part. And I said, no, just keep pressing on. So we see the beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus' life, and we're going to see the story this morning of how he begins to challenge the faith of a father. Begins to challenge the faith of a father. So if you want to, you can follow along up on the screen. Or if you'd like to, I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembled and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement and strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. We see this story in the scriptures here. It's a bit of a sandwich story. The author begins to tell a story and then pauses to tell another story and then picks up the story at the end. And we're going to focus on Jairus this morning. We're going to focus on the struggle that this father was going through. And as I look out and I think about all y'all, especially the fathers in particular, what it's been like for you. I see older fathers. I know there's younger fathers here. What it means to raise a child. And what it means to be charged by God to be the leader in your household and to care for your children and to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord and what that looks like for us. Because it's not an easy task to do that. It's a challenging task. So where does it begin? Well, certainly we know it begins very much with our own life and where we are walking with the Lord. The old adage, do as I say, not as I do, just doesn't fly real well, does it? The kids are smart. Kids are so smart. They are growing up and they're watching us and they're watching our actions. They're listening to what we're saying. Yet they're so incredibly forgiving, aren't they? I can remember at times when I would go to my children, I would have exploded with them late at night. I was tired and I overextended the punishment or whatever, grounding them for the next several years or something. And I would have to go back to them and I'd say, you know, I'm sorry. I just blew it. I shouldn't have said that. You know what they would always say? It's okay, Dad. It's okay. Forgotten. Kids are so forgiving. And if we will just be real and transparent with them. So we see this father here who comes to Jesus. Comes to the Lord Jesus. Jairus is a synagogue leader. He's probably in administration, overseeing the different aspects of what's going on there in the synagogue. Where the synagogue would have been not just a meeting of worship, but really all of the community would have been there. A lot would have taken place. And he was there, a very well-respected man. And as he's making his way into Jesus, people probably moved out of the way for him to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He falls at the Lord Jesus' feet, a real expression of faith, of this man's faith. And it's an interesting thought that this Jewish leader would have come to this man who the majority of the religious leaders in that day would have pushed Jesus aside. They were trying to get rid of him. Yet Jairus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, falls at his feet in worship, falls at his feet in faith, and he intercedes on behalf of his daughter who is dying. My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. We need to intercede in prayer for our children. We should pray for our children. Not just in at bed when we close our eyes and we lift up the names of our children. Pray with your children. It's amazing the impact for anyone in reality, when we're praying, to pray that individual's name out loud. There are those that perhaps we're investing in that have never heard their name prayed before. That should be the common place for fathers praying for their children. Praying for them and calling them out by name. We love to hear our names. We love to hear our names. I joked with Israel. I said, you know how many times I turned around this week when you were looking for your wife? His wife's name's Erica. We love to hear our names, don't we? And children want to hear their name. They see we're important to my dad, and my dad is taking me to the Father. He's interceding on my behalf. Well, what do we pray for our children? Well, we pray that they would come to Christ. Frank already prayed that might be the case in our life as fathers. We want to see our children come to Jesus. We want to see them come to Jesus. We pray that their faith would not fail. We pray that they would live lives where the light of the Lord Jesus Christ might shine through them. We pray that they would make godly decisions. We pray for this. We pray for their safety and their well-being. We intercede for our children to them. And we don't stop praying. We don't stop praying as fathers. I know, I've said this before, I can remember as a child coming downstairs after getting up and seeing my dad praying. And the thought was always what? He's praying for me. Because I'm the baby. I need the most prayer. He's praying for me. I know he's praying for the other ones too. They needed a lot of it too. But I knew he was praying. The model was set. The example was set. And so it was put before me to now pray for my children. And as our children are growing and children will eventually come, if the Lord blesses them, I pray that they will pray for their children because of this legacy that has been established. I want to pray that that the eyes of their heart would be open to the understanding of the things of God. I pray for their marriage partner, whoever it would be that God would have prepared for them. These are the things that we pray. And as grandparents whose children, or parents whose children are already grown, have you pray for their children. And then their children. We continue to pray. Jairus knew who he needed to go to. We know who we need to go to. Well, all of a sudden, there's this pause. Jairus comes to Jesus, tells him the situation, implores him to come, and then the very last part there of 24, it says, he went with him. Jairus' heart must have been pounding. His last hope, his daughter's dying, he's gone to Jesus. And Jesus says, let's go. Let's go together. And Jairus, I'm sure, was two or three or four, five steps ahead. Perhaps the older guy was even picking up a little jog. So excited that Jesus was coming. There was hope. There was hope in the situation. And all of a sudden, Jairus turns around only to see Jesus stopped. And Jairus, his heart must have just been pounding out of his chest. Jesus is asking a question. And Jairus says, what are you doing? And Jesus says, who touched me? Someone touched me. And the disciples are frustrated. And Jairus is terribly frustrated. This crisis of faith, it was so strong. But now what's happening? There's this pause. Jairus says, are you coming? Are you not coming? What are you doing, Jesus? Where are you at? Don't you see? Don't you understand the heaviness of this situation? And how many of us as fathers have not been there? We've cried out to the Lord. Lord, do you hear me? Don't you hear? It's like Scott saying, simple words I'm giving, Lord. Aren't you listening? Why has everything just come to a halt? Why isn't my child well? Why are they making such poor decisions? Why are there such conflict in our home? Lord, where are you at? And Jairus must have been just crying out. But Jesus is teaching Jairus a lesson in all of this. This is all about patience. It's all about patience. Be patient. Be patient. Knowing the Lord is working in the lives of your children, even when you can't see it. The Lord was working, and not only in the lives of our children, he's working in our life. He was working in the life of Jairus right here in this particular situation. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. We've heard the comment before, don't ever pray for patience. Right? Why don't we want to pray for patience? Because the Lord's going to give us an opportunity to practice it. Our faith is like a muscle. It's got to be worked. It's got to be worked. And this is an opportunity for our faith to be worked. Because we find where our faith is in these type of situations. Are we really trusting that God is who He says He is? Do we really have faith that He is hearing my prayer? Do I really have faith that He is working in the lives of my children and in my life, even when I can't see it? And Jairus' faith was at a crossroads. It was a crisis mode. What would he do? I encourage you to pray for patience. I encourage you to do that. And when the Lord gives us opportunity, we find we've come to the end of ourselves. And we realize there's nowhere else to turn. We've interceded on behalf of our children. And the Lord seems to be working. And then seems like it hits a brick wall. And so do we just give up? Do we just give up? Well, we see here that while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now, you talk about a crisis of faith. Seems the end has come. You thought all the right things. I prayed, tried to live a life that modeled what my children should be. And I've tried to be patient, but it seems all hope is gone. They're beyond reaching, we say. We say we've done everything we know to do with our children. And Jairus is just about to give up, and perhaps some of y'all are about to give up. You don't want to give up, but you've got nothing left. You feel like the Lord's let you down. He's not shown up like you thought He was going to. But you see, the Lord is working. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Jesus told Jairus when he heard what had happened. And you wonder if the reality of it just hit Jairus and tears welled up in his eyes. And Jesus, the Comforter, says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. You see, faith is faith because it endures to the end. Faith endures and faith is real even when we don't know what the outcome is. I mean, we read about that in the end of Hebrews 11 when it talks about that some of these men and women who had faith that endured, they were saved from the edge of the sword. The mouths of lions were shut. We heard in the earlier service with our brother that read about, that Ronnie read about the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Their faith said, even if we go into the fire, we're not, and we get, we are saved or we're not saved, it doesn't matter. But you see, they were saved. And so often we look at situations and go, if my faith was only deep enough, then all would be well. In all of these situations, my children would be good. But you see, the latter part of Hebrews 11 said, in the same breath that he says some were saved from the edge of the sword, someone said they lost their life by the sword. You see, faith isn't about the outcome of what God is doing. Faith is about us saying, I believe because God said it. That's the end of it. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. So we pray for our children and we don't lose heart. We pray and we endure to the end. And we continue to pray and go, God, I know you're working in this situation. I don't fully understand it. I don't get it. But like the father from the prodigal son in Luke 15... The son had left. The son had left, was squandering his father's inheritance. And the father, it doesn't say every day, but I can't help but believe the father every day must have gone and looked. Because he wasn't going to lose heart. He said, perhaps today my son, my daughter, is going to come home. And we continue to pray. And we continue to believe. And I know the human element of who we are, fragile creatures. It's hard not to worry. It's hard not to be concerned. As I think about fathers, there is nothing more thrilling than seeing your child born, seeing your child grow. Brother Larry this morning in the earlier service talked about how wonderful it is as a father to hear about our children from someone else, about what they've accomplished or what they saw them do. And we love our children. We'll give anything for our children. And yet our children break our hearts, don't they? They break our hearts. I recently did a study and came across a theologian who said a phrase that really encouraged me. He said, God is never disappointed in us, but he is disappointed for us. As he looks and sees a decision that's made and it just, oh. And I don't want to be disappointed in my children, but I am disappointed for them when I see them make bad decisions. I got to tell y'all a funny story. Y'all look like y'all need a funny story. Things getting too serious here. Maybe a year and a half ago, and Luke graduated from college last year and then got married last year. And so I think it was before he got married, I called Dad up and I said, Daddy, I said, Luke is just making some, I don't understand these decisions he's making. My dad said, mm-hmm. And I said, I noticed some of the things with the finances, and I'm not sure why. He says, mm-hmm. And we went through that about 4 or 5 times. He never said a word. He says, mm-hmm. And I said, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Daddy? He said, mm-hmm. I said, wow. You know, we love our children. And we see them make decisions, and we just, oh, what are you doing? But we want to continue to believe that God is working in their life. We're praying for that. We're praying for that. When we see a wayward child and we just shake our heads and throw our hands up, but we have to believe, God, I know you're working in that child's life. I know it. I believe it. With every fiber of who I am, I can't help but think that father longing to see his son, the prodigal son, who he just had to believe God is working. And was God working? He absolutely was working. Absolutely was working. Here, that son who had wasted all his money, spent it on wine and women and wild parties, and came to the end of himself. And here he is feeding the pigs, thinking about eating the food that he's feeding the pigs. He'd come to the end of himself, and God was working. The child had come to the end of himself. The father had come to the end of himself, and there was nowhere to turn for anybody but up to God. Jairus had come to the end of his rope. He came to Jesus. Jesus says, I'll come. There's a pause. Patience. Faith is tested. Jairus' heart must have been gripped. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. It's over. And how many times have we had people come up to us and say, your child is beyond help. Man, they're a mess. There's no help for them. And I wonder if Jairus, for just a moment, believed it. And just as he was about to believe it, or perhaps it was the seed of doubt was just starting to take root, Jesus steps in and says, don't be afraid. Only believe. He was still in control. Was still in control. I think about the fathers that are here and who are going through situations and you're just struggling, and don't give up. Don't lose heart. God is in control. And regardless of the outcome of the situation, we believe because the authority said what he said, that he is faithful and true. He is faithful and true. Well, Jesus comes to the house. People are wailing and mourning, and probably many of them had been paid to be there. It was a very common custom in that day. And Jesus comes in and says, why is everyone lost hope? Why is everyone crying? Why is everyone weeping and wailing? The child's not dead. She's only asleep. And all of these mourners and weepers and wailers begin to laugh and mock Jesus. I don't think Jairus was laughing. I think Jairus was hoping and longing and putting everything he had into Jesus' hands. He put them all outside, took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and they went in where the child was, and taking the child by the hand, he said to her, little girl, I say to you, arise. Arise. And I believe today that the Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, whispering into the hearts of wayward children, is saying to them, little child, arise. Arise. Leave this life of death and darkness and slavery. This life of being an Adam. You are being called to light. And you are being called back to life. And you are being called to live in Christ and freedom. And the Holy Spirit is calling that today to those children who are wayward. This child immediately begins to get up and walk. I bet her parents were overwhelmed and overcome, astonished. This feeble faith that's on shaky, rocky ground just plunged deep into the earth. And it was sprouting a huge tree. A tree of faith. What had happened? We should celebrate God's faithfulness, not only in our life, but in the lives of our children. And I think we should celebrate more often. I think we should. I got a buddy of mine up in north central Wisconsin, and he was out in Arizona, and he went to a church, and the guy who was preaching, the man, he said his whole theme was, for heaven's sake, throw a party. I love that. For heaven's sake, throw a party. We should celebrate. We are God's people. We should be the most thrilled people. I'm not saying we walk through life, you know, like, hey, it's great and everything's not great. I get that. We are real people. We want to be real, but we have a joy and a foundation that the world's longing for. We have an inner peace. And when God does something miraculous, which is all the time, we should celebrate. What happened when the prodigal son came home? The father didn't say, boy, where are you being? You got to get to work. He said, let's throw a party. Let's have a party. We should celebrate. We should be thankful to God and let people know why we're celebrating like we are. There was a celebration that took place. The story doesn't tell us what happened in the celebration that took place, but I guarantee you they were in awe and they praised God. Do people praise God because of what's happening in your life? Do you praise God because of what's happening in other people's lives? When you pray for things to happen, when you intercede on behalf of your children, and you're struggling and you bring in prayer warriors to pray with you, and you see God moving, even baby steps, we celebrate and we thank God. And our faith goes a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. And we say, this isn't quite working out like I want it to, but my faith is going to go deeper because I know God is working. I know He's working. What are our takeaways? Intercede for your prayer. Intercede for your children in prayer. Be patient. Be patient. Don't lose heart when all seems lost. God is still in control. And celebrate God's faithfulness in your life and in the lives of your children. That's what we're called to do, dads. And it ain't easy. This preach is a whole lot easier than you live it out. I promise you that. 4 points in a PowerPoint sermon and all that, but then we got to go out and do it. We got to get out and do it. But let's pray for each other. Let's care about each other. Let's be genuinely concerned when we ask someone about, hey, how are things going with your child? Not in a gossipy, talky kind of way. You know, we're genuinely concerned, and then we're going to pray with that person. I got a prayer partner that I meet with almost every week. And he and I pray for each other's children. And when I pray for his children and call them out by name, you can hear it in his spirit. When I call his children by name, he says, yes, thank you. And that's how I feel when he calls out my children. The Spirit of God lives in all who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and burial and resurrection. And they have said, I've come to the end of myself. I put my faith in you. We are saved, promised eternal life, the forgiveness of sin. And then our life looks different. Then we have this sustaining faith that continues on, and we encourage one another. This is a community. It's a community of believers. You see, we come out of the world into a place to gather together so that we can get help and encouragement. We can be fed by God's word. Because it's tough. It's tough out there. I know who y'all work with because I work with the same people. People who are needy, who are longing for life. They're dying for life. They're trying to fill up the emptiness, the death within inside them with everything. And we've got the answer. Don't be too tolerant, okay? We preach tolerance and all that. You know, don't be too tolerant. Be willing to look for those opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. Ask the people, can I pray for your children? Can I pray for you? And then be honest and then come back and check. But right here, whatever we can do, be good to all people, but especially the household of faith. Be the kind of father who says, choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And not in a legalistic, religious, kind of pious, pompous way. Reality says, I'm a big mess up. Where's my man Tico? He's out teaching children. He says, and I've taken his phrase, he says, Lord, we are a bunch of needy fellas. And ain't that the truth? We are a bunch of needy guys. We mess up, say the wrong thing, think the wrong things, act the wrong way. But we say, I'm striving. I'm striving with the power of God in my life. I'm striving because I got a legacy of faith. I want to pass it down to my children. And I'm thankful for those who have gone before. Look at me finishing 2 minutes early. I know I'm going to get invited back. I tell you what, I'm going to pray for the daddies in this room. I'm going to pray for you now as we close. Mamas, be good to your daddies. Be good to your husbands. Take care of them. Encourage them. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, for where else shall we go? We come to you as your people, and in particular today, the fathers in this room. We have a great responsibility of raising children. We pray that we would be men of integrity. Would be men of influence. We pray that we would desire to set the example of the greatest father of all. We pray that we would come to you on behalf of our children. We pray we would be patient with our children and with you, Lord, knowing that you are working in the lives of our children, even when we don't see it. Thank you that you are in control. Help us when we begin to have seeds of doubt in our ability or in what you're doing. Help us to just believe. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to pray for one another. And help us to celebrate. For heaven's sake, let us throw a party, knowing that you are faithful. And Lord, it is our desire to be faithful to the end. We pray for those wayward children this morning, wayward grandchildren. We believe that your Spirit is blowing through their hearts right now, calling them, telling them to arise, leave their life of darkness, and come to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. May the joy of the Lord be your strength.